Good morning, and I hope you're doing well, wherever you're at, whatever you're up to. Anyways, I'd ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 25. Just want to spend a few minutes looking at this great verse with some great reminders for us that I think will really encourage your heart and challenge you to live your life a very specific way. Proverbs 11, 25. Is the default setting on humanity others-focused, or is it self-focused? I mean, let's just be honest. We're not basically good. Our natural propensity is not to be concerned about each other and one another's needs and how we can bless others. If we're honest, the default setting on humanity is to be self-focused. Man's default setting is insular and self-focused. That's part of our fallen, sinful nature. But the verse that we're going to look at actually challenges that and encourages us to live a different way. And it shows us what the life of a person is like that chooses not to live focused on himself or herself, but other people. And basically what it's going to show us is that the giver's life is a blessed life. Proverbs 11:25, so short and powerful, says this: whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. We're going to look at two general principles from this verse, and I think it's good probably here that I just remind you that anytime we're in Proverbs and we're looking at principles, we need to remember that these are general principles that generally prove to be true. What we're not looking at is a series of promises. These aren't guarantees. These are just timeless principles that if you do this, life's probably going to work this way as a general rule. And so that's how we want to look at this verse. Two general principles, not promises, but principles. The first is actually that generosity results in prosperity. The first half of verse 25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. By the way, this verse seems to be speaking primarily, though not entirely, to the interpersonal realm. The way that I relate to you, you relate to me. The way that we relate to each other and the people all around us, this is relational. This is personal. This isn't so much about what you do with your money and giving it to church, per se. This is how we relate to each other. To our friends, to our neighbors, to our family, to the people that we come into contact with and know. In the first half of the verse there speaks of an activity. It speaks of generosity. And before considering actually what the giver gives here in this verse, we want to note the heart that's behind this giver. Quite literally, that first phrase is the soul of blessing will be blessed. The soul or the person of blessing. Whatever this person gives with his hands, his intent and desire is to bless. That word blessing in the Old Testament often referred to someone making a verbal pronouncement on another person, blessing them verbally. And behind that verbal blessing was a heart that wanted to see that person blessed. And so what we have in the first half of this verse is a genuine motive behind the gift to bless the other person. So we're talking about a person who sets out as their goal, as their intent, as their chief desire to please the Lord by blessing another person. We're talking about a pure motive here. And regarding the gifts of the giver, the word blessing here refers to a gift or a special favor. It may or may not even include money. It could be serving, offering a hand, it could be financial, but it just simply has the idea of blessing another person in one way, shape, or form. And so the activity here is generosity, and the result in the first half is prosperity. Verse 25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. And as only the Old Testament could put it, the idea here is whoever brings blessing will be made fat. You gotta love the way the Old Testament talks about things and even the culture there that's kind of being described will be made fat. That doesn't necessarily sound good. In today's world, being made fat, most of us want to try to be a little bit thinner. But the idea of being made fat speaks of abundance. It speaks of prosperity. And what God does is the hands that are generous, He blesses those hands. He blesses the generous hands of the giver. And that would certainly seem to be implied for this time, for our time here on earth. But there's no question about it that those who are generous now will receive eternal blessing, eternal reward. But I think it's important that we note here as we look at this verse that we just read it, we think, yeah, if you've read your Bible, you've read many statements like this, and so it doesn't necessarily catch you off guard. But when we read it, it's ironic. It should kind of catch us off guard. This isn't what we would expect to read, that whoever brings a blessing, whoever's generous, will be enriched. There's an antithesis there. Those are opposites. In the real world, if I have $100 and I give you 15 of those dollars, I now only have 85. I now have $15 less than I originally had, and I have $15 less to earn interest on and invest and make more money with. That's not logical. Why would I do that? Well, when that happens, it's a result of the Holy Spirit doing good things in my life. Or when you do that, it's a result of the Holy Spirit doing good things in your life. When you open your hands and you have a heart that says, I want to bless that person. That's the work of the Spirit of God. And the result that comes is contrary to what we would expect. It's actually prosperity. Because God's rules and His principles for how He runs the universe are so much different sometimes even than what we might expect. Generosity, I think, is a spiritual gift. And it's what we do, what Christians do when the Holy Spirit controls us. But I think we should note here that prosperity is not the intent. We don't read a verse like this and go, hey, I got an idea. If I give other people some of my stuff and some of my money, God says He's actually going to make me have more. Now, what was the heart here? What's the goal? Well, the goal is found in the first half of the verse. It's blessing other people. When a person has pure motives and they're genuinely trying to bless others, God rewards that person in His own way, shape, or form, whatever that might be. A second general principle. Again, not a promise, just a principle. Kindness shown results in kindness received. Verse 25 continues, and the one who waters will himself be watered. The activity that's described is kindness shown in one way, shape, or form. The idea is that the one who gives refreshment to others will be refreshed himself. And the giver finds ways to do that. He finds ways to refresh others. And what's mentioned here in this verse is basically giving someone water, satisfying someone's thirst. So I think we should ask, I should ask, you should ask, what is it that you can do to refresh people? What can you do to bring refreshment? I think that word refreshment is super key in understanding what God wants you to do here. How can you refresh people? I think there are realms in which we all need refreshment from time to time. We often need physical refreshment. Emotional refreshment, spiritual refreshment. What can you do to hold out that to someone else and say, here, let me help you find refreshment. Let me offer you refreshment. Well, that could come in a lot of forms. People need physical refreshment. How can we take burdens off of people so that they can rest? Emotionally, when people are in the thick of it and their emotions are probably likely to be all over the map and they're tired and they're weary and worn and maybe feeling anxious or concerned or whatever the case can be. What can I do to take some of that load off and bear some of that and let them rest? Emotionally, spiritually. What can I do to bring spiritual refreshment? Can I offer a word of encouragement? Can I offer a word of hope? Can I pray? Like, what can, there are all sorts of things that you and I can do to minister refreshment to other people. So the activity in the second half of the verse is kindness shown. It's a very broad idea, I think. And the result in verse 25 is reciprocation. And one who waters will himself be watered. Those who refresh will be refreshed. The kind act shown will be reciprocated as a general rule. The list of people, I don't know about you, but the list of people that I feel indebted to in a good way is quite long. It's huge. And the debts on that list are even bigger. The things that people have done for me all throughout my life, not just financially, but practically, to minister to me, to love me, to help me, that the things on that list are huge. Huge things, as well as bazillions of smaller just acts of kindness and love shown to me. Well, I would imagine most of us would say that we have some pretty big debts when it comes to what people have done to us, how people have served us and come alongside of us and loved us and cared and helped us and perhaps given to us financially, whatever the case may be. If you're like me, you probably feel like you have a pretty big list of, if we could call it, debts, like good debts. These people have loved me. And what happens kind of in that mental list of all these people who have shown me kindness, who have refreshed me, who have helped me, who have given to me? What happens to the names of the people on those lists? Well, the reality is any of those people that if they're in need, if they ever need help, man, I'm going to be one of the first people there, hopefully by God's grace, to help them. And I'm going to want to help them because those people have helped me. There's a debt there, a very good debt. And if I could ever find any way to repay them, I want to take it. And right now I may not know what that is. And the way that I repay that quote-unquote debt may look a lot different than the way that I was originally blessed. Maybe I can't repay in the same way that they gave. Maybe there's no possible way for me to do that. But perhaps I could repay that person in a different way in their hour of need. That's what happens, hopefully, in the Christian life all the time. We're giving and ministering to each other in the ways that God has equipped and enabled us to do. And often in exchange, that's being reciprocated. What a joyful way to live. What a blessed way to live in that sort of community. Just a practical example. When someone brings you a meal when you need help, doesn't it make you want to do the same thing for them when the opportunity arises? I remember talking to someone from church. And they, I think, had some physical needs, ended up in the hospital, had some things going on, and they ended up receiving several meals from people in our church. And I was talking to this person, and he just said, man, like when this happens, when all these meals show up on my doorstep and people are taking care of me, it just makes me all the more want to do that for other people. That is so true. When people bless you, when you need help, don't you just want to do the same for them? Or as soon as they have a need, you want to jump to meet it as opportunities arise. I think that's what happens. I've spoken often of hopefully having a culture in our church. We want a certain culture, not a bunch of programs. We do this, we do that, but a culture. No, this is how we behave. This is our lifestyle. This is how we live. And, as I think about our church, what I see, what I envision, even in the days ahead, is a church that has and maintains and builds a culture of what this verse describes, of loving each other and that constantly being reciprocated. We have these people who aren't living their isolated lives and everybody's looking after themselves, but everyone's looking after each other. And it's constantly just the back and forth of loving and meeting each other's needs and caring. And my hope, and even what I would envision for our church, is even if we grow, that you never lose that, because it's part of a culture. That as people step into that culture, they catch it. And this is just the way that we live. None of us are independent, in need of no one. We need our God, we need our Maker, and God has also made us to need other people. And it's God's intent that we be givers with our time, with our energy, with our resources. And I think this verse that we just looked at is a great reminder that the giver's life is a blessed life. So by God's grace, I hope you'll strive to live that way, keep living that way, pray about ways that you can refresh people, that you can be a soul of blessing to other people. And what a great joy it is to live the Christian life that way. And we need God to forgive us when we don't. We need God to help us grow, to see beyond ourselves and to see other people. Well, hopefully we'll see you here in a few days, but I hope you've enjoyed this verse, and we'll catch up later. God bless and have a great rest of your day.